nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Alright, praise the Lord. So, Pastor, okay, please can I...
Sir, okay, sir, right. What do you mean when you said...
When the Bible said
that we should dwell with the women in with knowledge. So, what kind of knowledge? Yes.
Praise the Lord. Can somebody open to that scripture? 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8. Okay, 1 Peter. Okay. Let me take
message translation. The same goes for the husband, for you husbands. Be good husband to your wives. Honor them, delight in them. As women, they lack some of your advantages, but in the new life of God's grace, you are equals. Treat your wives then as equal as your prayers do not run aground.
I'll still come back to it. So let me take the other translation.
And you husband, give thought to your wife, to your way of life with your wives. Give honor to your woman who is the feebler vessel, but who has an equal part in the heritage of the grace of life, so that you may not be kept from prayer.
Praise the Lord. You see where they went to? Prayer. Eh? If they even say that, so there's some blessing. You know, if there's some blessing that still stop, you can still continue the journey, right? Abi? If you don't have a car, you go and buy the transport. Abi? If you can't buy the transport, you go and rent it, you can go and borrow a bicycle. Abi? To go to where you are going. Praise the Lord. But this one now, eh? If your two legs are taken off, how are you going to move? Amen. Can you ride a bicycle? Yeah, so look at where they went to. If you see some blessings, okay, you can struggle through. But this one is your prayer. Yes. This is the heart and soul of life. So he said, giving honor. He said, dwell with them according to knowledge. According to knowledge. Now, and this knowledge, we are talking about divine spiritual knowledge. So, you know, marriage is not something we leave out of text. You know, we leave it out of the eternal covenant. You know, understanding God's eternal purposes, eternal counsel, you know, out of truth, not out of textbook. You know, how it ought to be on textbook. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Ephesians 5, verse 23. Are we there? Let me read from 22. Wives, Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. I think there should be a time I should also speak on that to our ladies here. Mm-hmm. Look, how did he say you should submit to your husband? The submission you give to God. Okay. Did that woman I gave example of just now, Smith, Wiggles, was to wife, did she fulfill that description? Eh? She did, right? Okay, let's continue. You see, this is the thing, the error we make. When you were talking about submission about the women, you know, there's somehow if you preach it in normal conventional meeting, you see the men will be getting hyper. Let them hear. Abi, when you now come to the one on the men, this and that, I'm talking about the women will be getting excited. Amen. Because everybody is always pointing to the next person. People don't point to themselves and take responsibility. Amen. Look at the one that applied to you and go and do it. So then God will now work on the other partner for you. Look at verse 23, Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Who is the savior of the body? Christ, right? Yes. And the same role the man is going to play in the life of the woman. Yes, savior in the sense, just okay, that redemption, you know, redeeming, you know, Jesus is our, he helps us. That's why I keep giving the example that we receive mercy from him, unmerited favor from God. Why not we apply the same thing to the woman? And then that's why I say you are the head. Headship comes with responsibility. And in that responsibility, one of the things in that responsibility, you must help the woman. So it's not just standing and demanding submission. That's not how Jesus did. So the way Jesus did it is that same way you are going to do your own. Because Jesus is a perfect example. Look at how Jesus and you look at the church. Look at Jesus. What is Jesus doing? How is he doing? Look at his patience. Keep expanding. Abi, his patience does not have limits. He keep expanding. He keep expanding. As we are misbehaving more, he still opening up his grace. You know, he say grace much more abound. You know, so he's gracious. You need to be gracious. So you have a responsibility not just to demand change from the woman, but to make the change happen by your own meekness. You know, by your own love. Yes. You know, by your own understanding, by your own forbearance, God forbear. You know, that's why the Bible says, bear with one another. You know, out of, how did he put it? You know, out of, bear with Ephesians, sorry, let me quickly, Ephesians 4. You see, it's with all lowliness and meekness. Let me read 1 and 2, Ephesians 1 and 2. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness. With long suffering, forbearing one another in love. He said, bearing with one another in love. This is not even husband and wife here, this is among brethren. He said, with all lowliness, meekness, and long suffering. That means you suffer long. Amen. Yeah. Patient endurance. Endure. With all long suffering, suffer long, patient endurance. See, with one another in love. So let's go back to Ephesians 5. I was trying to explain that he is the savior of the body. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husband in everything. Then 25 says, husband, he said, love your wives. And which kind of love? He now went to define, even as Christ also loved the church and gave what? Himself for you. You need to sacrifice your appetite. You need to pay a lot of sacrifice. I don't know if man of sacrifice God is going to call you to do. But you are going to make heavy, heavy sacrifice. Jesus makes sacrifice so that the church can become what it is. And up to today, he's still making the sacrifice. And one of those sacrifices is patience. He just bear with you. Some of us, how many years of prayerlessness? He's still bearing. He did not drive you away. You pray, you are not studying your Bible. How can I give you Bible? You know? Can you see? He said, even us. You know, the next comparison he gives is Christ. That's why I say, you don't leave marriage out of textbook. You live it out of God's counsel, out of his eternal truth. He's a husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he, Christ, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I give us a simple example. Dwell with them according to knowledge. The woman does not know how to cook. You're just going to create life about cooking. You know, okay, let's do, you know, like that, and it can be learned. But not from the place of heaping courses or even showing negative body language. Yes, and you're amazing. No, you know, okay, let's do it this way. Let's put it more a little pepper. Nothing stop you from standing in the kitchen with her once and to get it. And once it is gotten right, that's the end. True or false? The person will end up getting better. It's only this soup we're cooking out this time. You know, okay, let's eat vegetable tonight. Abi, simple. You can, that same thing you can say, maybe she has been cooking, maybe this particular okra, you say, you know, you can, is it only okra? You know, like that, before you know it. It's more simple. That same thing can be addressed in another way. Honey, or maybe you call, maybe you go to honey. Okay, you are going to market and make vegetable today. She will not come and say, you must go to eat that okra. Or make, let's eat, you know. There's a way you do it. You say, dwell with them according to knowledge. And that way, you are helping to mold her. Then the next time after this one, let's, you know, like that, you run that path for some time, then without necessarily turning into a quarrel. Right? He said, dwell with it. Jesus helps us, but he does not turn into quarrel, right? Can you see he gradually what? Gradually. Then that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, right? A glorious church, not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He says, so suppose men to love their wife as their own bodies. He that loves his wife, love himself. On and on and on and on and on. So part of, in a nutshell, I try to explain, dwell with them according to, you know, you have responsibility over the woman. God has put you, and that head is not for lordship, in the African mentality of lordship. You understand? Like, 420 times to greet you, and all of this. You have responsibility, and that responsibility is to help the woman to come into the place of her destiny. It's going to require a lot of patience, a lot of understanding, a lot of counsel, a lot of course, there are times you will rebuke. You know, there are times you rebuke. You know, there are times you will take a very strong stand. Everything you do, you must do it in love. You must do it with a redemptive mind and the redemptive understanding. Praise the Lord. And then when you see weaknesses, you don't take advantage of.
I don't want this one. What I'm trying to.
Sorry, let me.
I said I met a young lady some time back, and she said that cooking is stress. And for all the time we interacted, she never entered the kitchen. And so, how do we handle such cases?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I was the kingdom of God is people change and like I say, except like Cain, like people like some people are from the seed of the serpent. They say Cain was of that wicked one, right? And then Judas again, okay? They say Judas was of the evil one. And it was the seed of the serpent. But outside of that, when people are exposed, so they say love hopes all things, right? Love believes all things, right? He said, love endures all things. True love changes people. Praise the Lord. You can meet that kind of person and aggravate the situation, and the person will never back down. But some other you can meet that kind of person and then melt a stony heart toward a heart of flesh. Praise the Lord. Not just you. Don't forget that the Holy Ghost will be working in the life of the person. And if you are working with God and you are working, having a right relationship with God, God will help you. He said, the heart of everybody is in the hands of God. The heart of the king is in God's hand. There is no heart that God cannot change. So we must have that understanding. If God leads you to a place, so if God brings that kind of woman around you, or you went and carried that kind of woman for yourself, you know, that's why, amen. You know, that's why I say the kingdom, you know, I say the kingdom, this kingdom thing is so big. It's so profound. You know, if you carry that kind of lady for yourself, it's one bargain. But, you know, any point you turn to God, he always want to help you. You know, he told Israel that if you go astray and I send you to captivity, if you now, your eyes now clear, and you now cry, even from there, I'll start to help you. So if you take that kind of person to yourself, God can, and then after some time or something, you know, there'll be a change in you or something, and God wants to help you, he can now start helping in the other places too. But then the results you are going to see may not be as the same as the person that God, you know, God directly sends to you and has that kind of nature. It might, the job might be much more easier if you also walk in love. All right? Walk in love and then yield and submit to the Holy Spirit. So there are so many things involved, but God will help you as much as he can. Then back to the question, I was trying to say that love changes people. Like David wrote in 2 Samuel 22 and then repeated in Psalm 18, he said, your meekness has made me great. You know, for David to become great, he said God's meekness, you know, God stooped low to him. Praise the Lord. You know, God came down to him and then he helped him to rise. So sometimes certain people like that, you can come down. When you come down to people, as you come down, some people will come down. True of us. There are some people as you come down, you know. Yes, as you just walk in humility, they look at it, pick up and start walking in humility. How many people pray, even prayer life has changed because some other people are praying? A lot. So things like that happen in the kingdom. When you walk with God, there are no dead ends. Praise the Lord. Because he makes a road where there is what? Where there is no road. There are no dead end situations in God. So anybody can be changed from. So long as we ourselves are being changed and being transformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ, everything around us will be changed, including your partner. That one, God himself, is the one that will engage your partner and will be bringing what? The necessary changes. Praise the Lord. Somebody else was asking a question. All right. Okay. Brother Ebenezer.
Praise the Lord. My question is, if your partner is, for instance now, you have a partner that have a vision or receive a purpose of God for a life before you. And I wrote something down some years back that it is purpose before partner. And she got a purpose before she both of you came together. And she wants you to now support her. And you are now able to get yours. And it's now different from each other. What should you do?
Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible, like Pastor just quoted now, that God is not the author of confusion. When God joined two people together, you see, the two shall become one flesh. They are not only one flesh, but both of them are also one spirit. You see, he that is joined to the Lord, that's 1 Corinthians 6. He said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Right? So both of you are one flesh and one spirit. Both of you are one spirit in God. And then joined together, you are one flesh. So when God joins two people together, they will accept the spirit of rebellion. Praise the Lord. I told us which day, was it last week, about human volition, human free will. Is it here I told us, or last meeting, or the upper one? You know, human volition, free will. Okay, sorry. It was on, no, not here. It was on an online platform. I ministered on an online platform. On something about marriage. So I spoke about the human volition, free will. Right? Even God can speak to somebody and say, no, I don't want to. So even somebody, God joins two of you together, spoken to you certain things, spoke to me certain things, both of them will harmonize together if we are still submissive to God. But if ambition and everything, you want to make your own name, I want to run your parallel government. You know, yes, it happens. It could happen. But if God joins you together, I get what I'm saying. It's not a problem. Once you say, God has joined together, let not man put what? Asunder. Most time we're saying, let not man put asunder. I'm thinking about outsider. You don't know that even the two of you inside can put asunder. Are two of you not man? Are two of you not man? Two of you can put asunder. Somebody said to me, I don't want to live in Nigeria again. I want to fly to you. I want to go and stay in the UK. Let's stay here now. He said, no, I want to go and live in the UK. Okay, I can't stay in this country. So we must always harmonize together. Praise the Lord. Somebody can stand on and say, okay, all kinds of things happen, but let not man put asunder. That man too, you have the potential to put asunder in what God has joined. I too have the potential to put asunder, but let's wash ourselves. Praise the Lord. And let's not be overly ambitious. If you listen to God, the same thing God will speak to you, the same thing God will tell me. They might vary in the area of vary tailored according to who we are, but ultimately is going to be the same thing. Different prophets raised across hundreds of years, all of them spoke one same message about the Messiah. True or false? Was there harmony?
Yes.
There was harmony. From the time of Abel, who prophesied, he said the Lord come with his saints, thousands of his saints, you know, to execute judgment on the ungodly, of all they've done ungodly, in an ungodly manner, all of them spoke the same thing. Moses spoke about the prophet like me with the Lord God raised amongst you. Listen to him. And you know, people, Isaiah gave a prophecy unto us, his son is born. All of them spoke about Christ. Down to John, the last person that wrote John, the book of Revelation. He still spoke about Christ. So if God joins you, maybe you, God has spoke to the leader about purpose, spoke to you about purpose, everything will harmonize together. The only one ground it will not harmonize together is the spirit of rebellion. It will come in the form of ambition, non-submission, or maybe lack of love or understanding or something from the man or from the woman. So those are the things. Praise the Lord. Are you okay? Any other question? Okay, Brother Nathaniel.
We have talked so much about covenant of marriage, but I have not. Before you go into marriage, for instance, choosing your life partner, what are those things that you have to look out for? Because everything we are saying now, it depends on the two person involved in it. So what are the qualities of life that you need to have? Or what are those things that you have to put in place before you go into marriage?
Praise the Lord. How many of us remember that there's an extensive message on that in this hall?
Yes,
the title of the message is First of All in Marriage. So it's online, you can download it. So I don't have time to start going into that one for now. You understand? What did I say is the name? First of all in marriage. So the message is online, www.livingschoolministry.org. So you can go to the media message section there, you can listen to it. Or some people that have it on their phones, you can from there. First of all in marriage. But of course, I'll still take time to talk to us another time. But right now, what is it? The marriage what?
Covenant.
Yes, we want to stay on the marriage, you know, covenant. Praise the Lord.
Sir, how can we, like, you have a vision, and the other person has her own vision or purpose? No. How can you come together, to convince the other party to go in line with you? I have a reason why I'm saying this. I have a reason.
What I will say is that when you got born again, God also gave you the Holy Spirit. So talk to the Holy Spirit and keep praying. He will give you wisdom. He will lead you. He say he will guide you. He will counsel you. He will lead you into all truth. So I cannot just come at a straight jacket answer. This is what you need to do. But you play your own part. You know, there's a way you lead a woman, and the woman wants to follow you the rest of her life. So you to walk that kind of walk. You know, walk that kind of walk. Walk that kind of then she will want to follow you the of her life. And they also, no matter what you do, there also could be exceptions. You know, I talk about the spirit of rebellion. You know, so you say you can walk all those things, and then the person might know you, like Jesus. Now everything he did, Judas did not respond, you know. But don't forget, I told her about his source. Abby, he was of the evil one, but outside of that, he shied of God. God can person. Then I should talk to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can. I've seen people that their partners have been so changed and so transformed. But you must be yielding and following the Holy Spirit. And the instruction to women is so simple that you should submit. You should follow the man, be a helpmeet, and all of those things. But some people still might not want to walk in that path. And when it happens, the Holy Ghost is in you, he will. So he's our helper. Amen. So when you tell him, he knows what to do. You know, praise the Lord. If the Holy Ghost tells you to sit down, you refuse to sit down. If he breaks your two legs, you sit down by force. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, our brother was trying to open up the topic earlier on. I think the first thing I want to encourage us, please don't go and fish in crocodile infested waters, because that is where the trouble starts from. And you bring them, you say you want to convert them, and the conversion figures may be wrong. So please.
Can you imagine what pastor is saying? Some of these are our young men that have energy and they are so wise. Are you saying they cannot combat them? Are you saying they cannot go to crocodile's water and fish and eat with both mouths? Young men, you are not talking. Somebody is saying that.
You don't have the grace to combat.
You don't have the grace to combat. Amen. Yes, wisdom is profitable to direct. Don't go and fish. You know, I told us which time that when you marry somebody, you marry the person's future, right? You marry the person's future and you marry the person's destiny. Okay. So they used to say something that if you go and marry one of Satan's children, you become your father-in-law. He becomes your father-in-law. Do not be unequally yoked with unbeliever. Unbeliever. He said, don't only there. Yes, you yoke yourself with. So those are the things. Praise the Lord. God will still be helping you there, but the suffering will be much. All right. Thank you. So a lady is about to ask a question. Can we put our hands together? You know, they'll be pretending as if they were not here. That is not there. They are not. You know, when you talk about marriage, women are more interested than men. Women are more interested than men. But you see, they will just keep quiet as if they are not there. Like, Sister Lola, ask your question.
Praise God. So the Bible instructs us to submit. That submission is a very deep word.
Very difficult.
I don't say it's difficult. I say it's very deep. Yes. Because in a situation where the man is going, it's so obvious. Wait, it's so obvious that the path that the man is moving towards is like a part of this is so destructive. How can we submit and follow such? How can we? Which kind of wisdom?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think Bro Abi has answered the question. That you give his angels charge over you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, you don't start reading any textbook from chapter 10. So you read it from the beginning. You read from chapter 1. If possible, go and read the table of content. Read the author's preface. Forward, dedication. Then you now go to chapter 1. You see, life is most of it is consequential. Most of the things you see now, if you humble and submit to God early, God will lead you right. There are so many things you avoid in life. But if, like, why did I say so? Now, for instance, now, somebody has a husband, a lady has a husband that is misbehaving, is not doing well, is a greater call for her. Now, I heard of a story of a man of God when God took him to, was teaching him some things. You know, God, he had a revelation and then God was teaching him something. I read it in his book. God was teaching him some things. So, and, you know, where he stood, there were, it was a vision. He stood amongst some of these glorified saints, you know. And then all of a sudden, pride now, he too has glory, but the glory was covered. I've told all that story before. He had pride, but the glory was covered. And he was wearing one simple cloth, which was the mantle of humility. So, and he was standing before glorified spirit. They were all shining. He looked at himself. He was shining inside. But there was a cloth covering that shining. And God was speaking to him and then talking to him about the lives of some of these saints that had gone before. So he looked at his own that, and he discovered that by if he removes, he discovered that he could make his glory to come out and shine like their own. As God was talking, he was feeling, you know, he was feeling out of place. Then he started allowing his glory to come out. His glory started coming out. He started shining like those ones. And as his glory was already shining, then he couldn't hear Jesus again. Jesus was speaking to him. Jesus was getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And after that incident, Jesus now, he couldn't see Jesus again. He now cried out. I now cried out, you know, repented. Jesus came and then Jesus was angry with him. That garment you are wearing, he didn't understand that. He just saw that cloth was so plain. It's just like you coming to a wedding, everybody well dressed, and you yourself wearing one kind of clothes. You saw yourself suddenly wearing singlet. How will you feel in that kind of occasion? Out of place. That's how he was feeling. So he was looking at all these spirits. They were all glorified. So he now started feeling. So he now allowed his own glory to come out. Then Jesus told him that garment you are wearing is the mantle of humility. You know, sometimes humility will not make your power to come out. You can see a very rich man, but you may not know. You can even live with a millionaire or a billionaire for 1 week and may not know he's a billionaire. Maybe you met him somewhere, maybe one conference, you know, eating the same thing you are eating and all of those things. Praise the Lord. But there are some billionaires before you meet them. You will know, before you meet them, maybe 1 week before you even meet them, you'll have had in the atmosphere that this is a billionaire. Amen. So, that is it. So, his light started coming out, started shining like those people. Then Jesus now said that what he was about to tell you, I'm going to send you back to the earth to go and learn it. And you're going to learn it in the battlefield. So what you have simply learned by revelation is going to learn it by experience. And it's going to learn it in the battlefield of earth, of life. It might go through one kind of experience or maybe 1 or 2 years or something for you to arrive at the same lesson. What am I trying to say? What you have simply got it, right? Is going to get it in a longer way. Israel have gotten to Egypt in 40 days. How many years did they spend? What was responsible? Was it not their attitude?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes the way and manner you live your life will determine certain things that is going to confront you later. So sometimes somebody that they have been preaching to this young lady to repent in secondary school, she did not repent. University, they pursued that she did not. Maybe much later, she now later got maybe got married as an unbeliever and then later now got born again. And now she's having an unbelieving husband. You cannot blame God for so many things that are going to be seen. You understand? So you have to patiently endure. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
did you get why I use that analogy now? So also you too must take responsibility for your action. Maybe if you were born again at secondary or that university level, maybe you'll have married another husband, right? Maybe you might have been able to marry a believing husband. And all of so. But now, so that's one just example. I see there are so many things in God. There are so many things in God's kingdom. You could even marry, you could even be born again and marry a supposedly believer, right? And still have some kind of issue, right? Those things are also what? Possible. But don't forget, you have a responsibility to listen to the Holy Spirit. He says he will lead you, he will guide you. Some people get married without having any inclination. They just pay lip service. They didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. I get what I'm saying. So whatever you get in, he'll try to help you through it. But you don't put the responsibility to him. Why me? Why is the Holy Ghost? Why God? Why? You know, no. So you have to, he will help you as much as he can. But you too must take responsibility for your action. You must take responsibility for the 40 years journey in the wilderness. Put the blame on God. God intended it for 40 days. Are you hearing me what I'm saying? So coming back to that question, when you have that kind of person, the Holy Ghost is still there. He will still help. Seek godly counsel. Listen to one or two. God will raise up people around you that will counsel you, do good counsel. Then the Holy Ghost will also talk to you. But you are going to endure a lot. You are going to endure what? A lot. You are going to endure a lot. Praise the Lord. So that is why I say that God, that's why we have the voice of God to guide us. The voice of God to lead us. That voice was leading Adam Jeje. Right? He kept leading Adam Jeje. And that voice came and said, you should eat. And when he ate, and all of a sudden they became naked. Did God not clothe them? Did God not clothe them? They became naked. God still helped them. But they still must take responsibility for their action. So his son died. Just two brothers on it. Cain killed Abel. Will he now blame God? Can he say God why? He can't say God why. It was his action. Even at then, God still helped him. God gave him another son. Called what? Seth. And in his days, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. God was still there. But you on your own part too. God is going to give you grace to endure. Enduring grace. Praise the Lord. Uh-huh. He said love hopes all things. Love endures what? All things. So sometimes the extent of the things you endure are also a consequence of your actions in the past. Don't do this, I must do it. So those are some of the things we need to know. So he will help you, but also you must raise up your mind that to endure and to bear something. That's why I say you don't start reading any book from what? Chapter 10. You know, you come and tell about, okay, look at this and my husband, this and this and no. Do you understand? You don't just start deciding from that place. No. Certain things has happened. Praise the Lord. When I wanted to marry, I allowed God to guide me. And if I was to guide myself, I would never have married. I would have even married me before. I would have gotten into a relationship before I met her. Before I even met her. And because there was a lady that was all over me. When my colleague saw the picture, they said, wow, this lady is beautiful. You know, of course, that's what people will see. You understand? Like that, look at it and then you just go and shook head there. Praise the Lord. And as at the time I would have been meeting her, maybe met my wife in that kind of class, I would have been into a relationship, right? Heading for marriage, right? So anything I see in that one, but I'm born again. I'll still end up being a pastor. Praise the Lord. And maybe before you guys come this night, maybe something. something will happen, but you still have to endure. So that's how it is. God will still help us as much as what He can. Anywhere you are, you will find. He said, when you pass through the waters, He said, when you pass through the waters, He said, I will be with you. And through what? The rivers, it will not overflow you. He did not say you're not passing. You are still inside, though. Hope you understand that scripture. Sure. You are still inside, though. He said, it will not overflow you. He said, when you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. When he said you will not be burned, please have understanding. That may not have scars all over your body. You may have scars. Because Jesus was telling them one time that they would kill you. But he said, when he told his disciples, a time will come in that, maybe Mark 13. And if you now go to Luke, is it Luke 21 or something? When he was telling them that a time will see that anybody want to kill you, Abby, they will take you to the council. They will persecute you. They will take you to, they will kill you. He told them that they will kill you. He said, but not one hair of your hair will perish. He was talking about their eternal destiny. He said, they will kill you. And he said, told them, not one hair of your hair will perish. What was he talking about? No, look at it now. He said they will kill you. And here he said, and not one hair of your hair will perish. You look as if nobody will be able to touch you. You just be invisible. No, he told them they will kill you. But not one hair. So when Jesus speaks, he's not speaking about this body. He speaks spirit. So when you pass through the fire, you may not be burned. That does not mean you may not be carrying crushes. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he said, you may not be born. Neither will the flame kindle you know, on you, your destiny will be intact so long as you keep building and submitting to him. But there are consequences. David, when he went to Uriah's wife, was the one hair of his head, did he perish? One single hair of David's head did not perish. But there were consequences. His son died. The daughter was raped. Amnon died. Absalom went and chased him from the throne. Before God later brought him back, and Absalom died. The sword never departed from his house. There were consequences. He said, but his hair, one hair of his head did not what? Perish, because he still became the father of the Messiah in the spirit. But there are what? Consequences. So when you meet David in the wilderness running, and say, you've been serving God. Were you not the one that killed Goliath? Were you not the one that restored the whole of save Egypt? Where your own son? Where is this your God? Praise the Lord. There are things we don't know, and there are things we don't see, but God sees them. Praise the Lord. And he brings certain kind of things upon us, but he helps us as much as he can. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any other one? Marriage is a beautiful thing. Eh? Amen. It's a beautiful and a sweet experience. Praise the Lord. It's a sweet... how many of you, without even learning how to drive, you just jump into a car and you automatically know how to drive? Is it possible? Is it possible? How many of you are in school now? Some of you are students. You are in school now. You don't go to a lecture. You don't read any book. Exam, they just put a hand in the pocket. Which book? Say, oh boy, which paper we get today? Or I say, oh girl, which paper? What are we writing today? Lola, tell me one of your courses. Anatomy. Okay. You just walked up, you know. You just be enjoying your own. So you just came now. Which part we have to say anatomy. Okay. Anatomy. What is anatomy? So you just come and sit down in the hall. I say God be with you. Okay, the Holy Ghost will teach you all things. Okay. But you teach the obedient person, not the rebellious one. Because by not reading your book, you've already been rebellious. Even to God. Amen. So can you see the same thing? You read and everything. When you sit down and you prepare well, what happened to the exam? Once you prepare well, you do well, right? When you do driving lesson very well, what happened? You learn how to drive. So when you develop your graces and develop the fruit, the Holy Ghost is there with you. So why is marriage difficult? No, it's not. The Holy Ghost is there with you. He's much more eager to help you than you are eager to receive help from him. To help you to develop what he needs for you to succeed in marriage, I've told us, is patience, love, faith, meekness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that needs for you to succeed in marriage and in every other field of your endeavor. And the Holy Ghost is there, is even eager to brew these virtues inside of you. So where is the fear coming from? Praise the Lord. So I want you to be excited. You know, but in the midst of that excitement, be developing what? Your graces. You have told yourself as a young lady before, my, no matter what happened, I'll cook for my husband all the days of our life. Like, no matter what is on ground, I will cook. I know that you cook and do one. You know, in the midst of anger, you just drop. You can, when you go close to him, you can just throw the food. And the man say himself is not going to eat it. And the whole place will scatter. You know, you will keep, you serve the food the way you serve it and be serving it better. No matter what, even if there's a heated argument just now. You know, there's just a heated argument. As you go, there are some basic responsibility you must do. Praise the Lord. Any other one before we... Any other one? Okay, can you think here? There's no more question again, at least for tonight. So, can we just say... can you just begin to appreciate him? Amen. Can you begin? Let's pray. Can you begin to appreciate him in the light of what we've had? Praise the Lord. I want you to be excited. You see, many of us have images of wrong marriages in our mind. Yes, now. Have images of wrong marriage, almost of this one. You've lived with people in the houses. You've seen how the marriage is. You've heard of this case. You've heard of this one. You know, don't live with those images. The Bible says, put your eyes on who? On Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You can see 1,000 bad marriages, but if you can see one single good marriage, why not focus on that? Have you seen an example of one? If you see one, then you must see your destiny in that one. And then you must see your calling in that one. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So you must detoxify certain things that are in us. You just need to see one. If you can scan the earth and see one good marriage, then you've seen your marriage. You've seen the vision for your home. You know, You've tentatively seen the picture of how your marriage is going to look like. And then why not begin to pursue it? Begin to walk in that. Praise the Lord. So be full of excitement, be full of life.
Yes.
You know, be full of life. Can you begin to pray? Can you begin to appreciate our Father? Can you bless His name? Jesus, we thank you. Thank you. What a wonder you are. What a wonder. He said, Moses wrote Deuteronomy 33. Eternal God is our refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. The hands we have to help us are eternal arms. He said, the everlasting hand of God. These are the hand you have to help you. There is no way that that hand cannot reach. It is that hand that David was speaking about. He said, where can I go from your spirit? If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, he said, even there you will find me. And then your right hand will guide me, even from the belly of hell. If I ascend to the heavens, he said, you are there. He said, underneath are the everlasting arms. He said, the eternal God is our refuge. The eternal God is our refuge. And underneath our lives are the everlasting arms. Are the everlasting arms. What do you see? No, Jeremiah, what do you see? When you think marriage, what do you see? Do you see the Holy One? Do you see the everlasting arms? Underneath are the eternal arms. Father, we thank you. That Deuteronomy 33:27. Moses wrote by the Spirit, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He said, he shall put out the enemy from before you, and shall say, destroy them. Every enemy of marriage, every head that is lifted up against the marriage covenant, he said, God will push them out before you. And he will say, destroy them. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge, is your strength. It's your helper, it's your shield. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Father, we thank you. Thank you. What do you see? What do you see? What comes to mind? Do you see the Holy One? See the God of love? The God of marriage? The everlasting arms. David saw those hands. David saw those hands and he spoke. Psalm 139:7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? God is everywhere. And God is in all things. God is in the marriage covenant. God is there. God is inside. If I ascend up, verse 8, Psalm 139:8. He said, if I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, he said, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yes, the darkness hides not from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. There is no darkness before God. And there is no light before God. They are the same thing. There is no situation that God cannot change. There is nobody that God cannot change and transform, including you. God can change. God can transform you. And then God can change anybody. Have faith in God. Have faith. Have the faith of God. Mark 11:22 says, have the faith of God. Have faith in God. Have the faith of God. Paul said, the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus. Have the faith of God. Thank you. With faith, all things are possible. With faith, all things are possible. Father, we thank you. You praise, glory, in Jesus' name.
For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Tonight, to put a nation on your heart.
Oh Lord.